We're now about to embark upon a sugya that, although it has its roots in Masechet Daf Yutes, last sugya we faked ourselves out a little bit and said, we're really learning Gittin, but we spent 95% of the time talking about Shabbos. Now we're not even going to play the game. We're not even going to claim we're learning Gittin. We're really, really learning Masechet Shabbos right now, but the whole sugya appears in Gittin Daf Yutes. What do you do? If the Abba Rahim spoke about it here, the Abba Rahim didn't shy away and say, nope, so I won't learn, we're not learning Moed in Yeshiva, we're not going to learn Shabbos. The Abba Rahim talked about it, the Bisharim talked about it here. So what are we going to do? We'll talk about it here also. Daf Yutes and Alpha Masechet Gittin. So the background of the sugya is once the Gemara, the Mishnah, has identified for us that other colors are considered to be ksav as well, authentic ksav, both for Shabbos purposes and for Gittin purposes, the Gemara now starts to play around a little bit with the following yesod. What if I already have letters that are written and I simply just add more ink to those letters? Is that called the Ma'aseh Kesev or not? Now that's a shad you can ask. Bein Filcha Shabbos, Bein Bilchus Gittin. So in Filcha Shabbos, that would be a pretty important answer, question to ask, because in theory, a person's life may depend on that. Is he chayv skil or not? So there was already letters here, and he goes out and he takes an ink, he takes a pencil on Shabbos, and he just writes over the words, Perek Sheni. The letters were there, and he's added more ink to that. So that's one question. In theory, this question can be asked like Gabbai Gittin as well. Let's say a get is written, and for some reason there's something problematic with this get, so I want to just fix that, I'll just write more ink on top of the pre-existing get. Is that called the chosl of sefer krisos? That's a whole other loaded question. So this is a question that permeates called terakula. The question called ksav agav ksav. Now, truth to be told, we're not even really learning the sugya of ksav agav ksav yet. That's not the next sugya, but this is the prelude, the introduction to ksav agav ksav. Well, the Gemara basically makes four statements about the sugya of ksav agav ksav, all in the course of Masechet Gittin Daf Yutes. The Gemara discusses four different scenarios of potential ksav agav ksav principles. The basic halacha everyone agrees to, the ksav agav ksav is not a ksav. That seems to be pretty much accepted by everybody. I say seem, could maybe someone questions it, but the simple pshat in both the Gittin and Shabbos says that's agreed upon. The ksav agav ksav is nish ksav, nish for Shabbos, lo for Gittin. So Gemara gives four potential applications of that principle. One is, there are two variables here. One is black ink, red ink, and order of things. So I start out with black ink, and I put more black ink on top of the black ink. So that's classic ksav agav ksav. That's potter and Shabbos. Case number two, I started out with red ink. I put more red ink on top of the red ink. What's it then? Vaita potter, because that's ksav agav ksav. Those are the two easy cases. Now it gets complicated. What if I started out with red ink, and now I put black ink on top of red ink? Let's keep the Shabbos for a second. Don't confuse what we get to. I start out with red ink, and I cover it up with black ink. So comes the Gemara and says, Itmar, Hamavid Diyog Abisikub B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yechon B'Shlokish Abi Chavayu Chayim Shtayim. Rabbi Yechon B'Shlokish said a loaded statement that the person is chayef twice. Achas b'shem kesev, v'achas b'shem meichek. Yeah, two for the price of one. Two korban chatzes, we did a b'shegek. What? He did an act of kesev here. What do you mean an act of kesev? I just got finished saying that red ink exists already. So why isn't it the ksav agav ksav? So what do you see clear from Rabbi Yechon B'Shlokish? That ksav agav ksav is not always not a ma'aseh ksiva. It's only not a ma'aseh ksiva when you don't really accomplish anything, you don't improve anything. The assumption of this entire sugi is that black ink is better quality than red ink. That was the Gemara in Shabbos we had by saving things with bad leika. Black ink lasts longer. Black ink is a higher quality ink. And therefore, Rabbi Yechon B'Shlokish and Bechadish tell us that yes, it's true that ksav agav ksav is not a ma'aseh ksiva in Shabbos. But when you improve it by going from red to black, that is considered to be ma'aseh ksiva. And you chayiv skil, chayiv chadas. That's the simple meaning of Rabbi Yechon B'Shlokish said. So you chayiv, you mamish chayiv in Shabbos. That's case three. So again, we have black on black, potter, red on red, potter, black on red, chayiv. By the way, not only is black on red chayiv for kosev, I'll tell you an interesting kinesh, you also chayiv for meichik. You know why? Because when you put black on top of red, what no longer exists? The red, but you can't see it anymore. It's there, but you can't see it anymore. So practically, halachically, it's not there anymore. So you removed red ink. So what did you do? You did an act of what? Of meichik. So you chayiv. You have twice the kaisa from
Mechik. How exactly are we saying black on red is tzibah? It's more prominent, more lasting? What is it?
Higher quality.
Higher quality.
Whatever that means. Okay? But now is when it gets tricky. Sikra agabi dio. It started out by black, and I put red on it. So it's a davar poshut that you're not going to be chayef for what? What is clear? You're not going to be chayef for ksiva. It's not going to be chayef for why? When you go from black to black, you pot. You go from red to red, you pot. When you go from black to red, so you, if I can't, you went down in ksiva. So you didn't do a maisa koisev. The only svar that made black on red chayef is because you went up. When you go down, you're zichar chayef for koisev. But not between the fact that you're not chayef and koisev, there was a machlekes amarayim. Amri l'chayev. Some Amoraim said Yechayev, but Amri l'apotter. Amri l'chayev, Meicheku. Amri l'apotter, Mekalkil, who... Boom. What was the Machlekes Amoraim? Two versions of the Amoraim. One opinion said, true, you're not Chayev for Kosev, but you are Chayev for Mochek. Because if you think about it, what did you have on the table? What did you have on the paper before? You had this grandiose, really high quality black ink, and by putting red on top of it, you just did what? You removed it. It no longer is here. So you took ink that was used to be legible letters and no longer is present. We have a name for that. It's called Meichik. So one day in the Gemara says, you're Chayav Mishum Meichik. And the other day it said, you're right. You should have been Chayav Mishum Meichik. It has all the trappings of Meichik, except there's a curveball thrown at us. What is it? There's some reason literally out of left field that you're not Chayav for Meichik. You know why? Because the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos, "Kol mekalkel peturin." Whenever you do a malacha derech kilkul, you're automatically going to be potter. That's a rule that permeates all the Shabbos. Kol mekalkel peturin. So here, this guy's mamshu mekalkel. He was very destructive in nature. Here, he had a beautiful, high quality book written in black ink. It's going to last forever, and everyone can read it. It's really, really high, good quality. And now, what has he got? Now he's got this junky, red, cheapy, playground look. It doesn't look very professional. So that's called Mekalkel. So the net gain was nothing, was actually a loss. He went from good quality to bad quality, that's called Mekalkel. So the guy who goes from black to red can't be chayef for kaisiv, that's zich, that's mamsh ksav agab ksav. And the only thing that can be mechayef ksav 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 is that you go up, and here you didn't go up. And the Gemara's Mechadesh, according to one opinion, you're not chayef for Mechid, because it's Mechalkel. The other opinion says, no, you're chayef. So the Chora, the other opinion, has to prove themselves, has to explain themselves. But why are you chayef for? If I were to ask you, what would you think the din should be? You should be potter, Mechalkel. So what's Pshan the other day? So Rashi comes to the rescue. Rashi comes to try to explain to you. Rashi's not in the Memor Kermis, but it's the wrong Rashi. Be the next Rashi. Maybe it's my mistake. Rashi on the Tenus of an Aleph, the Kalkil who? So he's explaining first the opinion that says you're not chayav b'kishu moichik. The havale kemoicham nashi lo lichtov. It's like the guy who erases not to rewrite. I.e., it's a destructive kind of a moichik. Well, the man de mechayav. You see, Rashi's pain here. Rashi's trying really, really hard to explain the man yomer the yichayav. Well, have a bekalkil kol kach. It's not such a kilkul. You know why? Sharek Savaniker, because at the end of the day, you do have something positive to show on your behalf. You have a red book. You have letters in red. You can still read the story anyway. It's not as good as it was, but that's not called Mekalkel. So here you have a very fine tuned machlekes between the two Lashonis and the Gemara and the two Amiraim. How do you define Kilkel? Does Kilkel mean you look where you were, you look where you are now, and if you're in a worse position than you were before, so then what? So what? So that's a kilkul. Is that the pshat? What do I say? No. I look at the end of it. Look where I am right now. It's a pretty good. It's not bad. I'm pretty proud of myself. I got something very, 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 very nice here. Looks pretty good. It could have been better. Everything in life could have been better. But right now, I'm in a pretty good position. If right now, based on what I did, I'm still in a very good position, that's not the pshat of kol mekalkel peturin. Very, very lomdisha, philosophical, machlekes, half of dollars. You know, sometimes you get these statements about your, you know, those actually read it. You know, you say about your portfolio. So you open it up. So, ooh, my investments are pretty good. I got $800,000 here. That's pretty good. Not bad. And then what do you do? then you get a pit in your stomach. Why? You look where it was 3 months ago. It always shows. You see that line going down, that's a bad sign. So it's bad for the market. So it used to be $900,000. So now, I just ruined my day because I lost $100,000 this quarter. So there's two different ways of looking at that. I can look at myself at $800,000. I'm learning Kollel. It's not bad, right? I can keep my family afloat for that. I can make 2-3 chasidus based on that, you know? Marina, but well, I can make a couple of nice chasidus and that. You know, we can hang in there. We can retire a little bit. So $800,000 is not bad. On the other hand, gewalt geschwingen, where my $100,000 go? So, two sides of the looking at the world. That's the machlokes here. Is that called makapa or not? I was black, and now I'm red. Good or bad? That's how Rashi sizes up the sugya. So according to that, the Yoma, the Gemara, that if at the end of the day you have something productive to show, so you can't path your base on Makalpil, I got it. I understand. I got Rashi. Comes Tosus, and clearly didn't learn like this Rashi, because if Tosus learned like Rashi, they didn't have to give the whole Shtikl Torah they were about to say. Listen to this to Tosus. Mechiku. The bottom little Tosus. V'chashim le'im mechem anas lechtoif. The Mandiyamu says Yachai Vishumoche considers that to be a Moich HaManas Lichtov. The Mistoma Omed Lachs of Lichtov Labidyo. Because no doubt, no one's going to leave it as a red. Who wants red? This nursery school. What do you want to write? Red letters? Said, you want it to be black. So for Shtetzik, you're going to put black on afterwards. That's like self-evident from the Sugya Sistais. Of course you're going to add on black. It's so self-evident. I didn't see it anywhere in the Gemara. But Tais says, Vishnaitzik, you're going to put on black later. How did Tais know, by the way, that you're going to put on black later? Who told Tais you're going to put on black later? What words were bothering Tais? Where did Tais see anywhere in the Sugya you're going to put on black later? I don't see a word about black. I see going from black to red. I don't see boo about black later. Yeah, the Bali Taisus learned Masechah Shabbos. And the Mishnah Masechah Shabbos says, Lamites Malach is Chariz Harei HaKoyt HaDadadab, Kosev HaMochek HaManas Lichtov. So Taisus says, it is inconceivable for a person to be Chayv on Shabbos if the end game is not to rewrite. That's Muvar Be'eluf, says Taisus. Of course, anyone who ever opened up Masechah Shabbos knows that, says Taisus. Probably Rashi didn't open up Masechah Shabbos. Rashi opened up Masechah Shabbos many, many times. But the Balei Taisa say, it says the Mishnah Machlokes Lichtov, so it's Muvan Me'elim, of course there's a Maisek Siva here. So where's the Maisek Siva? The black, that's later. When's that going to happen? On Tuesday? I don't know what's going to happen. Next week, next Tuesday. I don't know when the guy's going to write it. We're not talking about B'chai for Kaysa. We're talking about B'chai for Maichik. So then Tosas, they still explain, okay, so what happened? So it started out black, now it's red, and tomorrow it's going to be black again. So it's Amanas Lichtov. Tais is still bothered. You know what Tais is bothered with? It's still what? How does the fact that the guy's going to add on black later, how does that address what issue? Again, there was Machlokes Amoraim. This is all I did on Shabbos. I had black ink from Friday. All I did on Shabbos is take some red and put it on the letters. That's it. What I do on Friday, I do on Sunday, is not up for discussion. So it's that putting of red ink on Shabbos afternoon that's going to nail me for Meichai, according to one day in the Gemara. And the other day in the Gemara says, no, it's not. You know why it's not? Why is it not new? Because of Kalkil. You had black and now you're red. So how does the Mandiyom who said Chayev has to address that issue? Everyone has to address Kol Makachla B'turin. So how do you address that? So Rashi told you how to address that. Rashi looked at the portfolio through different eyes. Rashi said, that's called the tikkun because at the end of the day, I have something positive here. But Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos says, no, wait a second. I don't have anything so positive here. This is bad. My portfolio, I dropped $100,000. I went from black to red. So what did I do that was positive here? So Taka, why does one man the other say Chayim Shum Meichik? Where's it's Amanas Lichtov? So what? But right now I got nothing done. I did this right now. It says Taisus continues. Taisus says, "Umakalkalu habi." They're like Siva Zeis. They Siva Al Yaina Rishum Anika Tvei Mishum Haisa Tachtan Levado. What does Taisus tell you? Taisus says, "You started out with black." You turned it into red, thereby erasing the black. It's amanas lechtoiv. And guess what? It's a tikkun. You know what a tikkun is? Because everybody knows, says Tosfos, when you write on black, red, black, that second layer of black is going to look what? It's going to look a shock. It's going to look even better than if you would have just simply had one layer of black. One layer of black would have been faded away much quicker. So the second black on the red on top of the black is going to somehow look better. Again, I know nothing about dye, nothing about writing, I don't know anything about anything. As I state in the Halakha Tosfos, that's called the tikkun. So I don't understand Tosfos. Tosfos needed to make that second degree of ksiva in there. There was no question about it. Tosfos had to do that. And Tosfos worked, and they worked, and they worked, and they said, okay, there's got to be a second ksiva. Somewhere down on a Tuesday, there's going to be a second ksiva. So it wasn't in the Gemara. I didn't see it anywhere in Gittin Daf Yetes. So I couldn't understand Tosfos. For hours and hours, I couldn't understand Tosfos. Where did Tosfos get it? Anyone who read Gittin Daf Yetes, only Gittin Daf Yetes, had no idea why Tosfos threw the second ksiva. But the minute that you learn Shabbos, I can give you a realize right away where it came from. It came from the Mishnah Mechamen Aslechtav. So now we turn the question back on who?
Rashi.
So what's Rashi talking about? Rashi did not mention a word about a second ksiva. Rashi gave you his own shtickle Torah about why it is yeh makakha, nish makakha. There's no three levels here. There's nothing. The game's over. According to Rashi, it's black to red to remain red, leave the blood. And Rashi says, you still chayav ala tzad, you can label it not a makakha. So basically, jumping out from between the lines of this sugya is a major fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tesis. You could have learned Masechta Shabbos, 157 blood, never seen it. But all of this, and you could have linked it in your test and also never seen it, but I'm telling you, now you see it. It's clear as day. That there's a major machlokes Rashi and Tosfos going on here as to what Chazal meant with that statement of Masechta Shabbos. When Chazal listed, Hameichek Amanas Lichtov. Those three magic words, Amanas Lichtov. What is Pshat in those three words? What is the purpose of those three words? According to Tosfos, those three words are literal. They are absolutely integral. They are critical to any and every Maisa Kesef in Hilchos Shabbos. Every Maisa Meichek in Hilchos Shabbos. It is inconceivable to violate Melechus Meichek unless it's literally Amanas Lichtov. And Tosfos is going to make it Amanas Lichtov here in Daf Yetes. They're going to throw ink, they're going to throw black ink, red ink, purple ink, green ink. They're going to make it Amanas Lichtov. And Rashi just, his own Rashi, ignored Amanas Lichtov. He completely and totally circumvented Amanas. The only thing that was bothering Rashi was to explain why it's a tikkun, and Rashi came up with an idea because it's tikkun. There's a little bit of a tikkun here, net gain, a little bit of a tikkun. Whatever Amanas Lichtov. Clearly, Rashi understood there is no independent requirement of Amanas Lichtov. So, why did Chazal mention it? What is Amanas Lichtov all about? Says Rashi.
Some upside, so it's not makalko.
99.9% of the time, if it's not Amanas Lichtov, it's going to be covered by a patur called Kol Makapa Patur. If I walk over to a piece of paper and I just start erasing, if I walk up to a Sefer Torah and start just scratching letters out, what possible positive outcome could that have? So the Mishnah had to think of, gee, by golly, how could the Kodesh Baruch Hu give us Malachas Meichek? What happened to the Mishnah Kol Makapa Patur? It must be the positive outcome is Abanas Lichtov. But I'll tell you a secret, says Rashi. What if I can construct a situation where I have another kind of positive outcome? It's not literally Amanas Lichtov. So you know what Rashi says? It'll also be Chayev. So give me a case. Give me a case of a positive outcome of Meichek which is not Amanas Lichtov. Give me a case. Gittin Daf Yetes Amud Aleph. I went from black to red. It's not Amanas Lichtov. According to Rashi, no one's writing afterwards. It's saying red, yellow, and blood. But it's positive at the end of the day. Again, whether you think this is called positive or not depends on the Amri Lava Amri or Tulashan in the Gemara. But according to one definition of looking at a portfolio, so then this is not called a kilkel, this is called a tikkun, and therefore the fact that it's not literally Amanas Lichtov doesn't concern me. So we have a major one. This is big. This is not a little machlokes here. If you want to put it into more lumdisha lingo, what is the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos focusing on? Is Amanas Lichtov a din klali or a din prati? And I don't mean klali outside of Shabbos. I mean, within Hilchos Shabbos, there are din klali and din prati. Let's say, Lamashal, there's a din klali of all of the Chashabas, Blachshet Sukh Gufa Potter. There's a din klali of all of the Chashabas, Kliachayat Potter. Tovashem is kavan potter. There are dim klolium that permeate all the third eye melachas, and then there are unique klal that permeate certain melachas. Let's say, for example, certain melachas ein disha al b'gdula karka. Certain melachas only lend themselves to such and such. So is this rule of Abadas Lichtav a din klali and alil chashabas? It's basically rooted in the sugya of komakakalim p'turin. It's the manifestation of the din klali komakakalim p'turin. And if you can somehow overcome that concern, yechayev. Well, do I say no? This is a prat in Meleches Meichik. Meleches Meichik was nimsat lan b'har Sinai. It was nimsat lan l'halocha. The hagdara for Meichik is amenas lichtav. And if it's not amenas lichtav, that's not called Meichik. It's positive. You didn't do the melacha. It's a din prat is part of where it came from. We got some work to do. But that's what clearly Tosfos is learning. So we have a major Meichik is Rashi and Tosfos right here. Right in front of our very eyes.
Can we just repeat how Rashi looks at its Meichik?
Yeah, the case of the Gemara. It started out black, and then I put red on it, so I removed the black. But at the end of the day, you can't say I'm a kalka. A kalka means I knocked out a building for no reason. A kalka means I ripped apart a piece of paper for no reason. Here, I got myself a nice, beautiful red story. It's not as nice as the black story, so that's having $800,000 instead of having $900,000.
Can you say that's not a kalka because you wanted red now? There's an upside to red over black?
Okay. I mean, Rashi does. Maybe that's Rashi's Rav. Maybe. So you gotta like think. You have to internalize this. You have to like stop and just think of it and digest this. Like Rashi does this a little bit. The Prima God, the Meyatzba, just throws out an afkamina, just to illustrate this, to highlight this kind of machlokes. Let's say I lend you $1,000 with a document. And then I pay back $1,000. So what do you do with the document? You give it back to me, right? Shtach be out of my body, okay? Bless you. So now I have the document. What do I want to do with the document? The last thing I want to do is leave it sitting on the table because what may happen? It may get lost, I'm going to find it, and then give it back to the other guy, I'll have to pay again, right? I don't want the second half of the first Bechabot Metzia coming to haunt me, of shtaris that get lost. So I want to get rid of this shtar right away. I don't want to rip it to threads, you know why? Because paper is very expensive. So what do? I erase it. They're going to erase it. Erase it and I erase it. So people go to says, what's the din? Am I chayef and moichin and shabbos or not?
That sounds like
that's makalkel? No. That's very, very misachin. You know why? Because I used to have this potentially incriminating evidence against me that could have cost me $1,000 and now I'm good to go. So I want this piece. I'm not going to write this piece of paper. I'm not going to write. I want to use it as a paper airplane, okay? But I want to make sure that the thing that says I owe Reuben $1,000 is gone for eternity. So I erase it on Shabbos afternoon, and then I use it as a paper airplane. So according to Rashi, I'm chayev. I did an act of moichik that was a tikkun. According to Tosfos Potter, because I did an act of moichik that wasn't a manas tachtan. That's just a good example, a very, very creative illustration of the Prima Gadim to put this machlokes into place for us.
Right. One of your words. So it makes more sense.
Good. Good. Sounds good. Masking. So they say, this machloikis cannot only appear in Gittin Daf Yutet. There's got to be a remnant of this somewhere in Masech HaShabbos. So there is a Tosfos in Masech HaShabbos. The third of the Barmei Kodesh. The Tosfos of the Ayin Gimel Malach in Masech HaShabbos. Tosfos is commenting on two malachas that appear in the Mishnah, kosher and matir. Kosher means to tie a knot, and matir means to untie a knot. So both of them are from the Lamites malachas. So Tosfos throws out the following suffix. Tzorchion, ibechai b'matir shlom and aslik shor iloi. What if a person unties a knot, not for the purpose of retying it? Yechai v'potter. What led Tosfos to even think that yechai v'potter? So Tosfos is bothered with the following dilemma. That there are certain malachas that are mentioned in the Mishnah that the flip malachas. For example, there's mochek and kosev, there's kareya and tofer, there's soser and bona. So Tosfos wants to know, are matir and kosher part of that group or not? It's not clear in the Mishnah. So from a pure, textual point of view, it happens not to say in the Mishnah, matir menas likshon. Some of the others it says, and some of it doesn't say. So Tosfos says, so from a pure textual point of view, it doesn't say, which may lead us to believe, now what? That's not true, that the two are not linked to one another. But Tais says, Lav Dafka, that's a Raya Brewer. Tais just textually tried to figure out, yeah, there's a Gitzarchi, and they're not sure what the din is. It's all very serious. A person's untying a knot. But he's not ever planning on retying it. Chayev, chops the Sederaisa, or not the Sederaisa. Gitzarchi. So I want to challenge Tais for a minute. Did this guy do something productive or not productive? Let's say, for example, he had this unbelievable gewaltig knot, like a sailor's knot. It was holding the boat together. Without this knot, so the entire Queen Mary would have capsized, right? He's got this great gewaltig knot that's doing a phenomenal keshras upon him of Masechel Shabbos. And this nikabub goes ahead, and he undoes the knot. And all the sailors start screaming, what are you doing? What are you doing? Ha-ha, destroying this boat. So Tais had a suffering that he's chayev for that. Why is he? Why should he be chayev? What's the din? Kol what? No. What's the mishnah? Come a kapla paturim. So obviously that wasn't Tais' suffering. Obviously Tais' suffering was that there was a knot here, and by his untying the knot, he really accomplished something really good. Again, I don't know. I give you an example. I'm not a Boy Scout. I don't know too much about knots. You know, he did something that was really, really good. You know. It was really productive what he did. But, no pun intended, what did he not do? He did not unknot the knot in order to knot another knot. Okay? Where do you go, Fish? Okay? Let's get up with today's show. So obviously that's the soft ketosis. The first case was silly for ketosis to ask. So ketosis wasn't sure. What does that mean, Tais wasn't sure? But Lamais is not a Makalkel. So what was Tais's latest thought? It's not Mais, it's not a Makalkel. So what did Tais think? You're right, it's not a Makalkel. But if Matir is one of those special malachas that has the built-in requirement of Almanas to them, we don't know whether that's true or not, but outside that it is, so then Almanas is not negotiable. And it's got to be literally Almanas Likshor. Again, Tais is not sure. They're honest. They're not pulling the wool over us. They're not sure whether Mata is one of those magic malachas. But al atzad that it would be, that a mere tikkun wouldn't be good enough. You would require amanas. So Tais just in passing tells you what are some of the other malachas that amanas really is critical. So Tais starts to collect the malachas that are the almanas is, and again, Tais is honest that Mata we're not sure, but the ones that are almanas, what do you see from Tais? The almanas melachas have to be what? They got to be almanas. They got to be the real McCoy. They got to be the real thing. So this Tais in Masechet Shabbos, that's not even talking about Meichik. They're talking about Matir. It is clear from this. Who read this Tais? Anyone read the Tais? Who read the Tais? Correctly, who realized right away that it's clear from this Tosis that the Balei Tais in Shabbos and Gimel were going Lishitosam in Gittin Daf Yotes. There's not a question about it. That the Balei Tais were Gittin to Shabbos to get looked through the Sugis of Amanas in the same way. If there's a Klauf in Amanas, then it's Chaykel Yavar. Tikkun will not do the trick. It's Amanas literally. So, Tach, what's the din by Kaisher and Matir? What is the din? So, Tais has very, very little to go on. There's very, very little in the Gemara about Matir. There's one line in Masechet Shabbos that Tais made a whole fuss of to try to show you one way or the other. Anyone look up the Gemara and the Ayin Dalel that Tais quotes? The Gemara is trying really, really hard to find Meleches Matir in the Mishkan. You know, we got to go back to our Mishkan books. We go back to the manuals of Betzalel and Aliyev. And we're looking, we see where they plowed and where they planted and where they threshed and where they harvested. I got all that down. We see where they write, we see where they erase, we see where they cooked, we see where they carried, everything. What? Where did they untie knots? What grandiose activity in the Mishkan warranted untying knots? So Gemara has a very, very esoteric discussion about this. Gemara says that in the course of regular preparing of the areas, you know, there's a lot of stuff was done. The areas, the big tikkun, there's a lot of looming and a lot of sewing, and a lot of these kinds of things going on. every once in a while, you end up with strings that they got ripped, and now it's messed up the whole, I don't know what I'm talking about, the whole loom, you got the string here, it's ready, it's ripped in the middle, it's not going to look very nice, the shirt's going to look like it's got a hole in it. So what do you do? What's the trick? What do you do? You tie it together, you make a little knot, you know, a little carefully, you know, no one should see it. Got a little, you know, a little flaw in the garment. Maybe buy a baguette, you know, let's say $50, got a little flawed. So one of the strings in the Malachta Mishkan was flawed. It was really ripped, and then Mitzala, when nobody was looking, he got some guy's really smart, you know, Malachas Chavash L'Cheshev, you know, the rope came at Chiles Magaman. So he went ahead and he tied up a little bit, and shh, don't tell anybody. But they got a little sloppy. And it happened again. And you know where it happened again? Where did it happen again? Right next to the other string. So now you got two strings next to each other. These are already going to be very, very inferior quality merchandise here. So you got two strings that Nebuch, we had to stop making a little tie, a little bit, and we got two strings next to each other. So Gemara says you can't leave it that way. The Ibis Ramale Trey Kitri Bahadi Adodi, Bishnei Chut and Zeitzel Zeh, Shori Chara Ben Yechad. The Gemara says there's no way you could leave it like that. Why? So Rashi explains, because then it's going to look like a bump a little bit. You know, one thing, you know, you'll kind of gloss over. You won't even catch it. But if it's two next to each other, it's going to look really bad. And then there's no way the Rokim Betcheles Magomer is going to leave it that way. So you're going to have to do something at that point. Again, this is... I wasn't in the Mishkan. I was, you know, even though I lived in the days of the Mishkan, they would never ask me to be part of the sewing team. I wouldn't have been part of the cooking team. I don't know what I would have done. I would have... sit around and say shit about Melechus Bashevis, but I couldn't do any of this stuff. I'm not so handy. So the Gemara is in the world of the Rokmei Tchelos Ragamon, and we got these two strings next to each other, and each one's got a knot, and the right smack, they can't stay the same. So the Gemara said, what must they have done? So here's where it starts to get very, very tricky. So the Gemara says what they would do is, Shari Chad Umeniyachad. What does Shari mean? They would untie one. What does meniach mean? They would what? What does meniach mean? They would leave it the way it was. In other words, remember, one string with a knot on it, we could survive. That's not the end of the world. But two strings, you know, with that next to each other, that's not going to look too good. So the Gemara says what the Derech Olam was, they would untie one. And what would they do with it? I guess they would throw out that string. I'm not sure. I have no idea what they would do. But they couldn't leave it the way it was. So they would untie one and leave one. One with the knot is nishkefiluch. And the Gemara says, oh, dos is what? Dos is malachas matir b'mishkan. That's why you can't untie your shoelaces. That's why you can't untie your tie. Because matir chad, because they would untie one of the strings. Ad kan divrei ha-Gemara. Now, at the end of the day, the Gemara says, this is a big joke. This is not even what happened. He said, when they were making the Mishkan, they weren't doing this cheap. This is not like some cheap garment made in some, inferior quality place. In the Mishkan, they would never do something. They would just rip the whole thing out and start all over again. So the Gemara says, you're right. Melech is Matim was something totally different. And the Gemara goes about the nets for the Chilazah, the Maizah, a long and a whole other story. So at the end of the day, none of this really matters. None of this really lasts. But Tari Lamdini Tzarech. If the Gemara thought that this was a possible Mokor for Matir, and this would have been, if not for the technical glitches, that they didn't do this, because nobody doing a high-quality garment would have done such silly things. Otherwise, this would have been a perfect replica of Melechus Matir. And what was the Gemara's description of Matir? You undid a knot, and you left the other knot. What's the problem, no? It's not what? It's not a masnik show. Right? It's not a masnik show. What's the answer? I like Elijah's example. It's like you have that essay, and you have that extra couple of letters in there. What do? And you erase those letters, and that's a Gevalik Tikkun. Is that about Manas? Like, sure. No, but it's a Gevalik Tikkun. Now I could use the way it was with the two knots next to each other. Nobody, it's not going to pass Bezalel's, plumber. It's not going to pass the test, because it looks messy. So by ripping out, by undoing one of the knots, I made it now usable. Even though it wasn't, I'm not so sure. That's what the Gemara says. That would have been Matir. Rashi says, right, that's the Pshat in the Gemara. That's a rationalist Pshat in the Gemara. Sharichad v'morachad. So Rashi says, Pemola, that would have been Mata Deraisa. What do you think from this Rashi? That would have been Mata Deraisa. Even though it's not what? Even though it's not Amalastic, like, sure. So you can learn one of two things from this Rashi. Either Rashi would say, who said there ever was a klal of Amalastic, like, sure? It doesn't say it in the Mishnah. Or what else may Rashi say? Rashi may say, of course that's a bit of Amanastic Shor. Identical to what other Malacha, that's also an Amanast Malacha. Meichik is also Amanast Lechtoiv. And even though Chazal say Amanast Lechtoiv, what does that all mean according to Rashi? What's the point of Amanast? It's just to avoid what? Kilkul, there is no Halach. There never was Halach of Amanast. There's no such thing as Amanast. All you need is to avoid Kilkul. Guess what? You avoided Kilkul. Because now you have a beautifully, perfectly ready piece of fabric to do. Roken betchelos v'agomon. So Rashi, in depicting this Havamin, again, in the end of the day, it's not even true. This wasn't even the matter of the Mishkan. But this Havamin of the Gemara, that this was Melechus Matib in Mishkan, by Rashi learning Taish in the Gemara of Sharichad and Monachad, Rashi interpreted the word Monach to mean left it alone, and all he did was untie and never subsequently tied it. And thus is also called Matib in Atayra. Rashi's Lashitoso where? Which Rashi Lashitoso? Everyone chapter, everyone realized that? Obviously? No. Who here read the Taisa? Taisa quotes the Rashi, right? Taisa says, Rashi said, Pshat, if he might finish Rashi, he's probably trade kid, but he's not a Madri Chai Velomanas, like sure. So this Rashi is the Shittos. Which great Rishon cannot possibly learn the sugya that way? Taisus. Because Taisus believed Amanas means it. And if there's a din of Amanas by Mate, then it's got to mean it also. So Taisus quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel, Alanga Megillah, a whole other story, a different version of what's going on in the fabric. Rabbeinu Chananel said, he quotes Rishalmi, Tulan Sadak, Shenifsa Chut Bishneim Akoimus, Vinikshar, Matirim Bezak Shor, Mashlik Lachutzam Tzoy, Vichayzim Kashish Deir Rosh Mizepazah. The problem was a totally different problem. It was one string that got ripped in two different places. So what did they do? What did they do? So they tied a little bit on the top of the string, and then at the bottom, a couple of inches later, they tied it again, and the Gemara says, that looks silly, that looks ridiculous. So somebody came up with a great idea. What's the great idea? Undie the two things and stretch the string a little bit and make one tie instead of two ties. Good morning, right? Tosses, achochma. You have to be a mamash, melechas choresh v'chayshim to figure that one out. So says Tosses, that's what the Gemara is talking about. When the Gemara says that you are not the one and you made another, what it means is not that you left. It means you did one, you unraveled one, you untied one, and then you retied it together in a different way with a different end of the string. So the way Rabbi Chananel depicts the story, what was it, Rabbi Say? Matir, what? Say the words with real, come on, through conviction. So the Bali Ataisus, who had to dig up Rabbi Chananel, dug up Yerushalmi, changed Rashi's Pshat, gave you a whole different picture of what's going on in the Havamid. Again, the whole thing never really happened. But in the Havamid of the Gemara, in that one Chalim Laila, this case of the Gemara, that would have been Matir and Kaisher. The Bali Ataisus stuck to the guns and getting up your test. If it's Amanas, it's got to be Amanas. So I ask you, Rabbi Say, who here read the Tyson Shabbos and Gimel? Who here knew what Tyson was talking about? Come on, be honest. No one knew what he was talking about, right? When you read the Tyson Shabbos and Gimel, and you read the Rashi and Tyson getting that Tyson, if you realize right away, that's the same question. What does Amanas mean? Is Amanas just a way to gauge that it's not a kilkul? Or is Amanas something much, much more profound?
Who says Rabbeinu
Chananel's
case is a binyan to the rest of Amanas? Just because he comes up with a case that it is.
Tosus had to come up with a case. Tosus thought Rashi's case was wrong. and Rabbi Chanan. Tosfos says Beferish. Rashi's pshat is wrong, and Rabbi Chanan's pshat is correct. So we're asking, we're putting in the words, and Tosfos, why did Tosfos so compelled to say that Rashi's pshat is wrong? Because there's that fundamental act of not amanas liksha that's not there. That's what Tosfos says Beferish. Tosfos says black and white. That Rashi's pshat conjures up the image, it could be chayv shlo amanas liksha, which Tosfos says is not necessarily true. At the end of the day, Tosfos is not even sure that matir is one of these malachas. They don't even know. But al atzad that it was, then Rashi's pshat couldn't be correct. Okay. So everybody said, what Tosfos just opened up for us is a big, big yisoid of the Shabbos. They identified three, possible four malachas where it is absolutely critical to know not only what you're doing, but why you're doing what you're doing. One is mochek. One is korei amanas litzvar. One is sosu amanas livnos. And the fourth possible one may or may not be mater amanas likshar. That Tosfos concedes they're not 100% sure about. But the first three, those three phrases appear in Chazal. Amanas by mochek, amanas by korei, amanas by seiser. So it is not enough simply to demolish a building. You have to have a plan while you're demolishing the building. Right, like when they knock down the Rothenberg house, it can't be just that we're just for kicks, we're just destroying buildings. We've got to do it to build buildings, build shuls. When we're erasing letters, we got to do it for some purpose. Maybe you have a Shabbaton in your house. So it's almost ready. Okay. Not quite. No, yeah, next year. Hey, everybody, make this. So this Tosfos is really food for thought. Rabbi Say, as insightful as this Tosfos is, at least for now, Tosfos only put the emphasis on your agenda, what you're doing it for, on those few, three, maybe maximum four malachas, where Chazal at least say the words Abanas. And now Tosfos is about to build on what they said, and about to go run with this mamish, about to run the marathon with this klal. Because Tosfos in Shabbos, if I can give him a base, is about to say that the almanas that we put such significance to, that notion of almanas, what my goal, what my end goal is, it has to be a very, very specific end goal, is so important that it may appear by other malachas as well. It may not even be limited to the three or four that Chazal speak about. Perhaps we may extend it to others. I didn't say to all, but at least to some others. So what led Tosfos to say this was a cryptic gemara in the fourth of the Mermakos. I'm Rav Kahana. Very, very famous statement, Rav Kahana. I'm Rav Kahana. Zeymer v'tzorach le'etzim chayiv shtayim. Achashim keitzim, achashim mateya. If a person prunes a tree, anyone know what pruning is? So a tree's got a little extra leaves there, so it's not doing too well. Another extra branches there, it's not doing too well. We got to get taken up the nutrients. We got to get rid of these extra branches. They're not helping us anyway. So, carbochalosismor. It's a normal thing you do to trees, to vines. You remove the extra stuff that's taking up the, preventing the rest of the tree from growing properly. It's called zomer. So zomer is chayiv on Shabbos. Why is zomer chayiv on Shabbos? What's the primary reason why zomer is chayiv on Shabbos? Because it's natan, zereg, means planting. Planting, what's the malacha zareya notea all about? Zareya is by seeds and notea is by trees. But what's the goal of malacha zareya and notea? Is to take something and to cause it to grow on the ground. That's basically what malacha zareya and notea are all about. So the Gemara says in Shabbos Tefai and Gimel that any time that you enhance growth of things in the ground, that is automatically smacks of malacha zareya / notea. Not only if you take a seed and put it into the ground, that's for sure Zareya. But what if I have a seed that's already in the ground, I do something that makes it grow better, it's also called Zareya. So not only is planting a tree, taking a sapling and putting it into the ground is Neteya, if I have a tree that's already growing, but I remove its branches to help it grow better, that's also called Neteya. Now whether or not Zoymer is an Av or a Tolda is actually a loaded question. That's part of one of those deep, dark mysteries of Hilchos Shabbos. How do you define exactly where Av and Tolda part ways? With probably almost zero nafkaminas in Hilchos Shabbos. Maybe Legabi Hasra, Tosfos is not even sure. maybe in Afghanistan, other areas of halacha, if you're not Rebbe Elazar mitzvah people. So it's maybe important for us to know what it's an avo, it's a tov. For our purpose, it doesn't really matter. But when you learn Shabbos and Gibel, that's the first question you have to ask yourself. Is Zomer an avo and a tov? That's a big machlokes of Rishon. Not for now. So comes Rav Kahana and says, if a guy is Zomer, and catch this one, he's already removing the branches to do Zomer. He realizes, wait a second, it's a cold night, it's Friday night, it's winter time, it's 9 o'clock at night, he's out there doing Zomer. He says, you know what? It's freezing in my house, and my logs from before Shabbos have run out. I need some more wood. What? Today's my lucky day. I got all this wood that I just make wonderful firewood. So he's Zomer, the what? V'tzorach li'etzim. He's going to use the wood. So comes Rav Kahana and says, we're starting for another malacha. What's the other malacha? Shem Kaitzer. He harvested. He cut off the wood. Now the Chiddush Rav Kahana was really a Talmud. You could do one act and be chayef twice. That's already a Chiddush, but that's Rav Kahana's Chiddush. And that appears in other places in Shabbos also. So Rav Kahana said, if you zayim there, v'tzorach li'etzim, then and only then you chayef twice. What's the obvious inference of Rav Kahana's statement? What if I'm zayim if it ain't tzorach li'etzim? I got plenty of wood. I'm going to take this wood and throw it into the garbage dump. I'm not using this wood anymore. I'll leave it out on the street till somebody from the town decides in Burgerville it's wood day today. If you zayim if it ain't tzorach li'etzim, you're chayef for what? You're still chayef for zayim / noteya, right? Because you did improve your tree. So we'll give you a misa once. But we're not going to even discuss the killing you to. We're not going to even two carbon chatzis. You're not chayef for kaitza. Why? Because you are lacking the tzorech le'etzim. So Tosfos wants to get into this word. If Kahana said how many words? He said maybe 10 words. Zomer and chayef twice. Implying that if it's not tzorech le'etzim, you're part of Bishum kaitza. Tosfos, why? Why are you part of Bishum kaitza? At the end of the day, you were kaitza. At the end of the day, you chop down a tree. So what does kaitza mean? Kaitza means something was growing in the ground, and now it's detached from the ground. Shkuch, that's what you did. So my nafkamina, whether you need the wood or not. So Tosfos doesn't understand what Rav Kahana is talking about. So before you read Tosfos, what was your initial reaction to this Gemara? You read the Gemara, oh, you have to eat Tzorach Le'etzim, vice Tosfos, if you're not Tzorach Le'etzim, you're not Chayav Bishum Kaitza. Why? What cloud popped up on your radar screen? The term Malacha She'etzuk, Vosma Malacha She'etzuk L'gufa. It's a Mishnah later on in Masechta Shabbos. If the Mishnah quotes Malachim Zabir and Rabbi Shimon, if I carry, let's say, I carry my Sefer from my Rishis Yachtu, Rishis Rav, I'm Chayav for carrying in Shabbos. What if I carry something that I don't want to use? I take out the garbage. I take out a bag of garbage into the street. I don't want the garbage. I want the garbage out of here. So the Mishnah says that's called the Malacha She'etzuk L'gufa. According to Rabbi Yehuda Chayav, you didn't like Ma'is Malacha. You carry for Shas Yachtu Shrab, my Echpati, what your agenda was. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're Potter. Why you're Potter? So Tosfos explains, because when you have Malacha She'etzuk L'gufa, it's not Dumi Yitawa. What's it lacking? What model is it lacking? Mishkan. It's not close enough to the model of the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they carry things to use. Now again, I don't have to only carry krushim and menorahs and shulchans to be chayav on Shabbos, but the common denominator of all the things, all the items they carry in the Mishkan was things they were planning on using. So when I carry something for use, I'm chayav. When I carry something to remove it, I'm potter. That's Rabbi Shimon. Most Rishonim Pasuk Rabbi Shimon, with the exception of the Rambam. So there is a concept called Malach Shetzik Lagufa. So if I was reading the Gemara on the fourth Imam of Shabbos, I would have said, Rav Kahana must be a Rabbi Shimon person, like most of Shem. And therefore, he said, if I'm Kaitzer, the Eitzim, I'm Zemi, the Eitzim, I don't want to use the Eitzim, so that's a Malach Shetzim Gufa Kaitzer, right? A Malach Shetzim Gufa is, Kaitzer in the Mishkan, they uprooted the summer, wanted them to use them, they wanted to make the dyes out of them, so they yanked the stuff out of the ground to use them, that's Malach Shetzim Gufa. When I yank something out of the ground to remove it, that's called Malach She'etzuk L'gufa. So that's what I would have said Taisha Rav Kahana if I was learning the Gemara. So Taisha says they don't think it's true. They don't think my pshat is right. Why says Taisha the fifth Mamma Kermis? Nira di afil Rabbi Yehuda de b'chayev Malach She'etzuk L'gufa ba'idin tzach li'etzim. Taisha says it's the Gemara here doesn't relate Rav Kahana to the Machlokes of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara doesn't make it depend on that Machlokes. Rav Kahana makes a statement across the board qualified that's accepted by all Tanoim. If you do Malachas Kaitzer, Shalom Letzarech Ha'etzim, you're potter on Shabbos, not because Malach Shetzik L'gufa. Even Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayim Malach Shetzik L'gufa would say you're potter. Why? What's the point there? Based on what? Says Tosfos, the lo mikre bet eitzim kaitzi el bimuzah. Says Tosfos, mishkin kaitzi. What did Tosfos just say? That the requirement of tzorech by kaitzer eitzim is not part of the regular klal b'lav shetzim move that will depend on Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. It's not a din klali that permeates all melachas. What is it? There's something unique about kaitzer. There's something special about kaitzer. The lo mikre kaitzim eitzim el tzorech eitzim. And that crosses party lines of Rabbi Shimon. So Tosfos just made up a cloud. The guy be kaitzer. They be daik and Rav Kahana. I wouldn't have said it, but Tosfos said it. That the tzarech adavi, your agenda, what your ultimate plan to do in the future may not even be a job, maybe next week, next month, next year, but your future plans is going to impact on whether the mice that you did as a malach and shav has nothing to do with malach and shav. This is not Rabbi Shimon territory. There's something unique. Where do we find such a model in Rosh Hashanah that a person's plans and agendas will impact on the malacha? You better believe it. What's the next line in Tosfos? What does it say? Bidid have a what? Krim nas nitfor. Bidid have a what? What's the next lines? Look at the next lines. Meichek amenas lichtav. Tosfos is putting that up on a pedestal. There are certain malachas, one of them being meichem nas nichtav, that the almanas is chayt v'lo yavon. Its absence will exempt you from malachah d'raisa. And say, ooh, just as we have it by meichek, kenzai we have it by kaiser also. Even though the Mishnah doesn't say anything about kaiser almanas lishtabish be'etzim. Doesn't say it. If Kahana maybe or maybe didn't say it, we're not sure. So, wow. This Tosa snuck in here, and I give him a base. Is part of Tosfos' theory just how serious we take Amenas Lichtov. If all Amenas Lichtov was simply a gauge to measure what? Mekalkel or not. When a guy is Zomer Eitzim, even if he doesn't need the Eitzim, could you call what he did a Kilchul? What kind of Kilchul is that? He's saving his tree, saving the vineyard. It's $1 million job that he's doing. He's saving all his grapes. What kind of Kilchul is that? And Tosfos says, not enough. Just not being a kibbutz is not enough. You need a what? You need an almanas. And the only the models that Tosfos gave malachas that require almanas, almanas lichtov is an almanas tikkun malacha. So what is screaming out from this Tosfos? I'm giving him a bay. It's loud and clear. That the klal of almanas, that in Chazal state by Meichik, Tosfos now extended to Kaitzer also, is not just almanas to make sure that it doesn't fall into the trap of a kalko. But there's something intrinsically significant about these malachas. So this is the third time in the span of one shiur that Tosfos said the same you said. But the Balei Tosfos is saying that if you test them an aleph and gittin in arguing with Rashi's pshat about sikra gabidio, is what they mean in Ayin Gimel and aleph and Shabbos about the discussion about matir and kaisha and the Rashi and the chanan of shtikul Torahs about what the havamina was about matir. And now Tosfos is repeating it a third time around by giving as a model of amanas to extrapolate the kaitzer, Zemin says Tosfos that Amanas is the real, real thing, the real McCoy. It's not just a way to avoid the pitfall of Mekalkel. So we now have not one Tosfos, not two Tosfos, three different Tosfos that are all expressing the same theory about Amanas. Amanas is not just an anti-Mekalkel svara; it is something to be reckoned with on its own 2 feet. Everyone have this Tosfos also? Right? Who here read this Tosfos? Who here connected the dots, saw the lines connected? Who here now sees it? Clear as day. These three teachers are saying the exact same thing. Boys, we got a lot of work. We have not even begun to scratch the surface of the sugya. Hopefully, we're at Hashem. We got a lot more work to do on Sunday. We'll do a little chumash for a minute, too.